appreciate you being here. My name is John, and I am one of the pastors at Crosswater. It's not very often that that I preach, only a couple times here in the last year and a half or so. So it's been a little while, but appreciate you joining me this morning. I want to bring the word to you in our series Little Christs that we've been doing on the book of Acts. But before we do that, I want to just give you a couple of reminders. Josh reminded you guys that even though we are not able to pass the offering like we normally would at this time as we transition into the message, there are still some ways to give. You can do so on our website. You can do so in the app. You can text as well the word or the little short code CWSultan to 888-364-4483. We greatly appreciate you continuing to give to Crosswater. Obviously, even though things are kind of shut down and limited, we do still have expenses. And so we do appreciate all that you guys have been able to give here in the last couple weeks and ask that you continue to do so if you are able to. Also, we wanted to have a renewed focus on our benevolent ministry this year, and now even more so with all that's going on. We definitely anticipate a lot of need in our community over the next days and weeks and months ahead. So if you are able to give above and beyond your normal offering to our benevolent fund, we would greatly appreciate that so we can help address the needs in our community. So you can do that in the same ways on our website, through the texting, through the app. Those are all still available that way as well. So anyway, most of you seem to be jumping on here, so we'll go ahead and get started. I know it's been a crazy couple of weeks for me, probably for you guys, for most of the world. It's been just kind of nuts. Our routines have obviously been shaken up. Our just what's kind of considered normal is no longer really normal. We've got a new normal that we're kind of developing. And I know it has been hard for a lot of people. People have lost jobs, or maybe their jobs have just maybe been put on hold temporarily. Schools are closed. People aren't able to see their friends and their family. Lots of events and activities have been canceled. People are obviously sick and dealing with that during this time as well. And so I know it's been really difficult, but hopefully you've been able to see some good in this as well. I know for us, for my family, my son was finishing up his last year of college. He had to come home early from that, which definitely was hard for him. He wasn't able to say goodbye to all of his friends. He wasn't able to kind of experience the end of his college experience that he wanted to do. But for us, it's been good because we've had our son home earlier, about 6 weeks earlier than he was supposed to be. I love hanging out with him, love having him home, and so it's been good for me to have him here. I know also my wife is not able to work currently. She's part of the non-essential businesses that got shut down, and so she hasn't been able to work, which obviously is hard for us financially, but it's allowed us to spend more time together as a family. We are able to have dinner together. I think the five of us have had dinner together more in the last couple weeks than we've had probably in a year, just because my son had been gone and my wife works nights and all those kinds of things. And so it's been great to be able to sit down as a family, have dinner together. So hopefully you are able to have some of these positive things and see the good that is happening despite all of the bad and the crazy and just the anxious times that we're having. So hopefully that's the case for you. Want to remind you just kind of where we've been at. We actually set out in 2020 to have this idea or this theme that even if Jesus is. And when we sat down and we were thinking through all this and brainstorming and thinking about this idea, we definitely didn't have a global pandemic in mind. But it's still true, right? It's still, it's even more, probably even more true for us that even if the worst things, even if this pandemic, even if job loss, even if sickness, Jesus is still on the throne. He is still God. He still loves you. He still cares about you. It's not a surprise to him. None of this has caught him off guard, right? And so I want to encourage you today to have that perspective that even if any of these bad, horrible things happen, he is still king. He is still God. He still loves you. He still wants relationship with you. And so look to him during this time. And as if you've been following along with us in our current series, this book of Acts that we started the year off with, we're almost done with. We got a couple more weeks. If you've been following along, you may have noticed here recently in particular just how closely the passages in the weekly sermons have matched what is going on in our society, in our lives. And I think today that's even, I don't want to say more the case, but I think it is still the case today. And I hope that you can see that today is not any different, that what we read in Acts 21 through 26 today is relevant to what is going on in our lives right now. So look for that. One of the things we've talked about in this series, Little Christ, is that as Christ followers, our lives will look like Jesus's life. Our lives should look like Jesus's life. And today we're going to see that in Paul and how his life is very much looking like Jesus's life as he enters into some significant hardship, and really out throughout the remainder of the book of Acts, how it really kind of parallels Jesus's last days, right? And as he comes into Jerusalem, as he experiences suffering, it's very similar to what Jesus had going on at the end of his life. And we see that in Paul as well. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you to embrace these examples that we see in your own life as we face hardship and as we face opposition and as we strive to look like Jesus, particularly in this time when people are looking for answers and people are looking for hope. I don't know if you were able to see the video that we put on our Facebook page this morning just a little bit before Josh got on there, but it's this idea of being carriers of hope. It's a scary time. It's an anxious time. It's a weird, strange time. But we as Christ followers have the opportunity to carry hope to non-Christ followers, to people who don't know Jesus. We can be that example. We can bring hope. We can bring peace. We can bring love all through Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to be a carrier of hope. So we'll go ahead and get into it this morning. Last week we finished with Paul setting out towards Jerusalem. He had been taking the gospel all around these Gentile areas. He was planting churches. He was doing the work of God in all these areas. And now he's headed back towards Jerusalem, and he's actually bringing an offering from these Gentile churches to the Jerusalem church. His primary mission had been to take the gospel to Gentiles, to non-Jews. And this had actually set Paul up for some trouble, as we're going to see today. There were a lot of people that didn't like what he was doing, and it kind of set him up for some trouble. As we saw towards the end of chapter 20, Paul had actually been warned by the Holy Spirit about what laid ahead for him, the trouble that he was going to have. And we're going to actually, I'm just going to backtrack a little bit to chapter 20, look at 22 through 24. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. Just a little bit of a recap as we ended last week. We see this in Acts 20, 22. "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul knew that trouble was coming. The most important thing to him was testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. And as we move into chapter 21, Paul continues to be warned about this coming trouble. His friends, in fact, are also being warned. His friends are getting tipped off by the Holy Spirit that, hey, your buddy Paul's going to have some difficulties coming up, right? And so they are actually pleading with Paul. They're encouraging Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Stay here. Stay away from, go anywhere but to Jerusalem. Stay away from there. And then we've got this prophet named Agabus. He comes and he basically performs a skit for Paul, kind of showing what's going to happen to him. And we'll pick that up in Acts 21, verse 10. Paul hasn't yet gotten to Jerusalem. He's still making his way there, and he's got kind of this pit stop. And it says, verse 10 here, "While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, This is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart, for I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." Paul loved these people. These were his friends. These were his co-laborers. He loved these people. He loved the church, and he's weeping with them. He knows that he's likely not going to see these people again. He's weeping. He's hurting. He's having his heart torn out. Right? He literally says, "They're breaking my heart." But he says he's ready for imprisonment. He's ready for death for the sake of Jesus. The most important thing to Paul was being obedient to Jesus and preaching the gospel. Paul could have easily justified not going to Jerusalem. Someone else could have taken that offering for him. He didn't have to do this. It was too dangerous. It was too important for him to be lost from the ministry that he'd been doing. His friends and the other leaders probably would have commended him for making a decision not to go, right? They were encouraging him to stay away. And they would have probably rewarded him and encouraged him or commended him for not going. But Paul knew what Jesus was calling him to do. Anything other than that was going to be wrong. It was going to be sin for him. And so he had to go. And so I ask you today, are you being obedient to Christ? What is God asking you to do? Are you doing it? Are you being obedient in some areas, but in other areas you're saying, "No, sorry God, that one's off limits. You can't have that one." Literally, as I was writing out my message the other day, I pretty much write out the whole thing. I was writing it out, and I was listening to this playlist on Spotify, and the song just randomly came on right at this time, right at this moment. So talking about obedience to Jesus and laying down everything we've got for him. And the song comes on called "Lay It Down," "Lay It All Down," excuse me, by Will Regan. And it says this in the chorus. It says, "Lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus." Looking like Jesus means being willing to lay it all down at his feet. And so I ask you this morning, what are you holding on to? What have you been unwilling to give over to him? Where are you not being obedient to him? In the garden before Jesus was arrested, he asked God for a different way of doing this. Right? He knew what was coming. He knew about his coming arrest. He knew about his coming death. And he asked God, "Can there be a different way? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Paul knew that trouble awaited. His friends encouraged him not to go. But ultimately, they came to this thought, the statement, "Let the will of the Lord be done." We don't always know what lies ahead, but my prayer for myself, my prayer for you, is that our lives will look like Jesus' life by submitting in obedience to him, even if fill in the blank, what is the worst thing that you can think of, even if Jesus still is, and we are to be obedient to him. Our looking like Jesus is looking like obedience. So I encourage you in that today to be obedient to whatever God is calling you to. Step out, trust him, have faith in him. So moving on, Paul actually arrives in Jerusalem. He meets with James, the brother of Jesus, who's now kind of basically the head of the church in Jerusalem. He meets with the elders in Jerusalem, the elders of the church there. He tells them about his journeys all around. He's basically giving them the slideshow of what's been happening and what God has been doing in all of these areas among the Gentiles. They listen to him, and they all together, they glorify God for all that he has done. And then kind of immediately after all of these great things, all these great stories, they immediately say, hey, by the way, Paul, there's some rumors circulating. There's some stuff going around about you that we aren't so sure about. They immediately hit him with these rumors that they've been hearing. We'll see this. Look with me in chapter 21, verse 20 through 24. It says, and when they heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed? They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. These Jewish Christians were concerned that Paul was teaching Jews in these Gentile areas that they didn't need to follow the Jewish laws anymore. They didn't need to follow the customs. They're concerned that Paul is basically telling them they don't have to be Jews anymore. And that wasn't true. Paul wasn't doing that. And we aren't totally sure here from the text whether these leaders, these elders, believed the rumors, or perhaps they were just kind of letting Paul know what the word was on the street, what they were saying. But whatever the case, they asked Paul to take part in this vow that these other guys are doing. They're basically asking Paul, hey, can you go and do this and prove that you're still following these Jewish laws, that you're still a Jew, right? And go and prove this by doing this vow. And not only do they want Paul to participate in this, they want Paul to pay for it. They want Paul to pay for the other people to do it as well. So they're asking him to kind of prove that the rumors aren't true by taking part in this vow, by paying for this vow. And so the other Jewish Christians would not have a problem with him anymore. But you know what? Even if the rumors were true, this wasn't something that Paul had to do. This wasn't something he had to do. Jesus didn't abolish the law, right? But he had fulfilled the law. And it's through him alone that we are saved. It's through faith in Jesus. Not through following rules, not through good morality, but through our faith in Jesus and what he did for us, right? That's what saves us. So Paul had every right to refuse this request, right? He could have taken a stand. He could have defended his freedom or his right to not do this. He could have detailed all of these things that he had done over the years, right? All the work that he's performed, all the people who have been saved as a result of his preaching, all of the churches that had been planted. He could have given his resume and said, no, I'm not going to do this. I don't have to do this. It's my faith in Jesus Christ that saves me. It's not following these rules. Right? He had that right to do. But he didn't. He humbly submitted himself to this request and he participated in this vow. Have you noticed that our society seems to be growing more and more divided? I'm guessing you probably have. And unfortunately, it feels like we have to pick a side on basically every topic, right? There's just no middle ground. We have to be on this side or this side. Everyone wants to know exactly where we stand. There isn't room for discussion or for dialogue. I must believe what you believe, and you must believe what I believe. And if we don't, we're automatically at odds. And it's silly. It's frustrating. It's tiring. And we tend to, when we're wronged, we tend to want to make sure that everyone knows that we were wronged, right? We want to rant about it on Facebook, and we post these passive aggressive kind of shame posts on these group pages so everyone knows how wronged we were. Someone cut us off in traffic, or someone flipped us off, or someone did whatever it is, and we've got to let everybody know how wronged we were. Or we've got to argue and fight because our rights have been infringed. And in this environment, it's natural to want to hold on to our rights or fight for our rights. I mean, even the Beastie Boys years ago told us, we've got to fight for our right to party, right? We've got to fight for these rights. And that's just this feeling that we have. And don't get me wrong, there are things that we should hold on to, and there are things that we should fight for, right? We should stand up against injustice, and we should stand up for what is true. But too often we draw a line in the sand. We puff out our chest and we cling to and we fight for things that we don't really need to. If our life is to look like Jesus' life, then it will actually look like laying down our rights. Not holding on to, right? You don't see Jesus holding on to all of his rights. You see Jesus laying down his rights, laying down his life for the sake of us. And I don't mean that we should roll over and be trampled and kicked and stomped on, right? That's not what I'm saying. That we should be willing to sacrifice, willing to lay down what we maybe have the right to do in order to love others, in order to reach others with the gospel, in order to glorify Jesus. Jesus gave up his place alongside God in heaven, right? He came to earth as an obscure, poor carpenter, and he was killed for the wrongs of others. So surely we can lay down our right to be right in an argument. Surely we can lay down our right to be understood so we can instead understand somebody else. Surely we can lay down our right as a church to gather together when people are scared and freaked out and worried about this virus that is spreading. And a couple weeks ago, we had the right to get together, but we wanted to love our neighbors. And so we set aside that right. We laid down that right and we met online like we're doing today, because we wanted to love people. We wanted to show grace. We wanted to show the gospel of Jesus Christ. Having the right to do something doesn't necessarily make it right to do. Let me say that again. Having the right to do something doesn't necessarily make it right to do. Where can you lay down your rights in order to reduce division, in order to love your neighbor, in order to show someone the gospel who desperately needs to see it lived out? I encourage you, don't fight for your rights. Lay down your rights. Sacrifice. Be willing to do so. Not, again, not so you can be walked on, not so we can lose truth or any of that, but so we can show love and so we can show people who Jesus is. Paul submits to the elders. He participates in this vow. And while doing so, that's actually what leads to him kind of being captured, right? He's spotted in the temple participating in this vow. And these Jews who were upset with him, they see him there. And basically a riot breaks out. And you say it with me. See, this is what happens when you lay down your rights. You get walked on, you get punished, right? And I get it, I understand that. And the Jews, they see him in the temple. They assume that he brought Gentiles into the temple with him, which isn't true, but it's a big no-no if he did. Gentiles were not allowed to go into the temple. And so they assume, because they had seen Paul with Gentiles, they assume that Paul brought the Gentiles in with him, which he did not do. But they're so upset that they actually want to kill him. They grab him and they start beating him. And the Roman soldiers, the Roman centurions, they actually have to come and rescue Paul. They have to pull him out of this crowd and take him away so he doesn't get beaten to death. And there's so much that happens in chapters 22 through 26. I can't possibly get into all of it. I can't possibly cover it. And so I encourage you, if you haven't already read it this week, I encourage you to spend some time there this week or today even. Read through 22 through 26 and see all that is happening with Paul, right? We continue to see Paul's life look like the life of Jesus. We see it in his suffering and how that kind of matches up with what Jesus experienced, right? He's rejected by his own people. He's wrongly accused. He's unjustly treated and imprisoned. And spoiler alert, we don't see Paul leave jail in the book of Acts. For the rest of the book, Paul is imprisoned. So we see him look like Jesus in his suffering, but we also see him look like Jesus in his response to that suffering, to that hardship. As Paul faces these things, none of which are deserved or earned, he continues to trust in Jesus. He continues to preach the gospel. He responds in humility and in grace. Now, our lives probably won't ever get this extreme, right? But our lives will look like Jesus' life in suffering and in hardship. We may be rejected by people. We may be wrongly accused by people. We may be unjustly treated by people. And so we've already talked about continue to submit to Jesus, to his will, despite what's ahead. Whether you know that suffering or hardship is ahead, or whether you just assume it is, or whether we don't know what's ahead, continue to submit to him in obedience. Be willing to lay down your rights for the sake of the gospel and the glory of Jesus. As we see Paul go through the remainder of these chapters, we see him
kind of recapping, going backtracking just a little bit, is we're seeing Paul deal with trial after trial, literal trial, and trial as far as hard circumstances. We see him continue to experience these things in chapters 22 through 26, really through the end of the book of Acts. And we see him respond to those things in humility and in grace. We see him continuing to share the goodness of God. And so my encouragement to you is, as we navigate these difficult times, one, we already talked about, continue to be obedient to God's will for you. What is God asking you to do? What does he want for you? Be obedient to that. Trust him. Continue to submit to him. Also, in this difficult time, we can lay down our rights for the sake of the gospel. We can lay down our rights to love people well. So I encourage you to do that, right? We see Paul do that. Encourage you to do that. And then, as we see Paul respond in these difficult circumstances, respond similarly, right? Share the goodness of God. Include your testimony. Tell people your story about how God saved you and how God has been good to you and how he's come through for you, right? Share your story. Share the goodness of God. Show restraint. Show humility when you are wronged, when things are difficult, when things are tough, when people reject you, when people make you when people treat you poorly, submit to God, love people well, show restraint, show humility, extend grace to people. So as we reach the end of chapter 26, Paul is before King Agrippa, who is the Jewish ruler of Judea. He is before Festus, who is the Roman governor of Judea. And so we're going to read here in Acts 26, 28 through 29. It says, "For the king knows about these things," right? Paul's telling his story. He's telling about Jesus. And he says, "For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." No matter what Paul is facing, he continues to be about the will of the Lord. The most important thing to him is the advancement of the gospel. And we'll see over these last couple of weeks as we finish out this series, Little Christs, we'll see how God has been orchestrating all of this for the spread of the gospel all the way to Rome. right? We see in Paul's letters, we see in Paul's life that he's been wanting to go to Rome. He's been wanting to visit the church there. And as this all plays out, we see how God is orchestrating all of these things to bring Paul to Rome. He's bringing Paul in front of all of these people, these governors and these kings and these important people, and he's ultimately bringing him to Rome. And all the while, the gospel is being shared and it's being spread. God was not caught off guard by Paul's circumstances. He is not caught off guard by what we are going through today, March 29th, 2020. I don't believe that God causes bad things to happen. I believe that it's the brokenness from our sin that causes bad things to happen. But I do believe that God uses bad things for his purpose and for his glory. As Christ followers, our lives will look like his life in the challenges that we face, but our lives should also look like his life in how we respond to those challenges. We have an amazing opportunity during a time where people are scared, they're anxious, they're worried, they're unsure of what's going on. We have an opportunity to bring hope to a world that is fearful. We have opportunity to bring peace to a world that is chaotic. We have opportunity to bring love to a world that is divided. We can do that by responding to Jesus in obedience, even as it brings us into discomfort or into suffering. Obviously, we don't want to choose suffering, right? But I encourage you not to waste suffering. Don't waste it. God can use it for his glory, for his purpose. I want to share with you something Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He actually he wrote this not too long before the events that we're talking about today. He wrote this letter to the church in Rome. And in chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, he says, first, let's backtrack a little bit to 2. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God uses suffering. Don't run from it. He's there with you in it. Submit to him in obedience. Trust him. We can bring hope and peace and love. We can bring the gospel by being willing to lay down our rights for the sake of his glory. A guy named Albert Mohler, in his commentary on the book of Acts, he says, believers can let their freedom or their rights assume the status of an idol, and consequently enslave themselves to freedom to those rights. We can easily entrench ourselves in our own freedom and thus paralyze our ability to serve others. True freedom means that we can dispense with, we can get rid of our own preferences, wants, and needs. Only the gospel can tear down the dividing walls which exist in our day. Only the gospel can do that. Fighting, yelling, arguing, holding on to rights, that doesn't do anything. The gospel can tear down those walls. Jesus Christ can tear down those walls. Let's show people Jesus by being willing to lay down our rights. And finally, we can bring hope, we can bring peace, we can bring love to those around us by showing restraint, humility, and grace when rejected, when falsely accused, when mistreated. Show people grace. Be humble. Show restraint in these times. Let's be the church during this scary and uncertain time. Let's do so by living our lives to look like the life of Jesus. He loves you. He wants relationship with you. He is our hope in this time. Let's show that to others by the way we respond, by the way we love, by the way we show restraint, we extend grace, and by the way we submit to Jesus. I love you. I miss you guys. I hope to be able to be with all of you soon. But we have an amazing opportunity right now as the Church of Jesus Christ to show his love and grace to those around us. Will you try to do that this week? Will you look for ways to do that this week? Start with submitting to him. Whatever he's asking you to do, submit to Jesus, trust him, follow him, pursue him. Take this time that we have not just to binge watch shows on Netflix, but to binge read the Bible, to binge pray. Spend time with him, pursue him, seek him, submit to him, and then go live that out and show others who he is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your example. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are still king. You are still on the throne. You are still in charge during this time. I know that that people are afraid. People are worried. People are facing all sorts of hardships, Lord, and I don't want to minimize any of those. Those are very real. And so I pray for your provision. I pray for your peace. I pray that you would continue to show yourself to us. I pray that you would give us the strength to be your church in this tough time, to show people who you are in this tough time, that we would love people well, that we would be patient with one another, that we would extend grace, we would be humble. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for all of my friends on here. Thank you that even though we can't be together in person, we can be together virtually. And thank you for technology, even though it doesn't always work the way we want it to work. And this has been more of a chore than we had hoped for as far as getting this message delivered, Lord. You don't need any of it. And so we thank you for that and pray that you be with us this week. Give us strength. Give us encouragement. Give us peace. In your name, amen. Thanks again, you guys, for joining us. Appreciate you bearing with me and with this technology. I know we lost some people, but most of you came back on multiple times, and so I thank you for that. As Josh mentioned earlier in his live stream, we do have some additional live times this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Zach and Katie are going to pray with you all again on Tuesday. We'll have a devotion for you on Wednesday, and then we'll have worship again on Thursday. We are also thinking through some other ways to connect with one another. I know we got a request this week for some stuff for our kids, and we've been talking with Zach on some options there, so we hope to have some answers for you on that this week as well. But we love you. We appreciate you. Go and be the church this week. Bye.